KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 9 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, 41 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy to cloudy here today with a high around 55. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Hummel Insurance, your Western Iowa Mutual Insurance Association agent in Oakland. In the news, Atlantic got just a taste of winter this morning. If you happen to be outside around 8:30, that's when some snow pellets fell outside the KJAN studios. The precipitation lasted for just a couple of minutes, but a few specks of snow were left on the ground, but then they quickly dissipated. I'll have a look at area news coming up next.
How do you want your money to work for you and your beneficiaries? Taxable, tax-deferred, or tax-free? Hi, this is Craig Hummel. You know, one of the biggest challenges facing baby boomers is how to transfer our assets to the next generation without Uncle Sam taking out their pound of flesh. Call Hummel Insurance Services and discover how you can transfer your wealth to your spouse or the next generation tax-free with Increasing Whole Life from EMC National Life Insurance Company. Call 1-800-482-6426 or locally at 482-6424. Increasing Whole Life Insurance is issued by EMC National Life Company, Urbandale, Iowa, and is policy form LP300. The increasing death benefit is not guaranteed until declared. The provisions may vary or be unavailable in some states. See policy for complete details. Or visit us online at HummelIns.com.
In area news, the Atlantic Police Department reports a couple of arrests over the weekend. On Saturday, 23-year-old Trent Bramman of Atlantic was taken into custody for driving while barred. And on Sunday, 25-year-old Brandon Earlbeck of Atlantic was arrested for domestic abuse assault. Both men were brought to the Cass County Jail and booked in. Police in Red Oak report two arrests also over the weekend. They include 42-year-old Shelby Oliveras, who was taken into custody for allegedly violating a protective order, and 47-year-old Matthew Westover, who was taken into custody on a charge of having an animal at large. Both were held in the Montgomery County Jail on $300 bond, pending an appearance before the magistrate. The Fremont County Sheriff's Department this morning released a report on their recent arrests. The following individuals were arrested last Thursday, October 25th. 33-year-old Brian E. Smith of Omaha for disorderly conduct, 32-year-old Robert Lee Bopp of Shenandoah for driving under suspension, 26-year-old Isaac Hayes of Hamburg for a probation violation, and 40-year-old Teresa Lynn Cederberg of Shenandoah for being an accessory after the fact. And last Tuesday, October 23rd, 20-year-old James Dale Ahern of Council Bluffs was arrested in Fremont County for violating his probation. Authorities say a 19-year-old Northwest Iowa man has been killed while helping to put in fence posts. The Plymouth County Sheriff's Office said Alexander Rankin died at a scene outside of Remsen Saturday afternoon. A report says Rankin was holding the posts while Andrew Vasky used a skid loader to push the posts into the ground. There was extra dirt in the skid loader's bucket. The report said the extra weight caused the machine to tip forward. The bucket struck Rankin and pinned him to the ground. Five members of the Harlan Fire and Rescue Team left Des Moines early Sunday morning en route to Albany, New York to assist with search and rescue and other duties in advance of Hurricane Sandy's arrival. Jason Wickizer, Emergency Medical Services Coordinator at the Shelby County Emergency Management Agency, said on his Facebook page that he, along with Chad Kroger, Jordan Sanders, Andrea Seistad, and Ryan Nelson, will work with federal officials to assist in recovery efforts. Many of those same team members assisted in fighting wildfires in the western U.S. early in August and September and had only recently returned to Iowa. They won't be the only Southwest Iowans offering a helping hand to East Coast residents, though. Tina Potoff, a spokeswoman for MidAmerican Energy, said the team of MidAmerican line workers also left Saturday morning.
There are 12 men that are part of that team, including one mechanic, one safety member, and one supervisor to make up the team of 15. We've also released 50 contractors and 51 contracted tree crews that we normally would work with.
And the authorities ordered tens of millions of people, of course, to evacuate the East Coast on Sunday as the gigantic storm was forecast to hit the area and deliver strong winds, heavy snowfall, and widespread flooding, which we're already seeing this morning in that area. Potoff said the crews from Iowa were told to expect to be gone at least a week and perhaps 2 weeks, depending on how severe the storm damage is.
They've been dispatched to Poughkeepsie, New York, and they're going to be primarily set aside to do emergency service restoration work. So that can include putting poles back up, stringing up wires again, replacing broken equipment.
The Iowa crew members come from all over, according to Potoff.
We have some men that are from Shenandoah, Sheldon, Red Oak, the Fort Dodge area, Rock Valley, and Avoca.
The storm is massive and slow moving, meaning that sustained high winds will hit many areas and will likely produce massive amounts of rain and snow once it moves inland. Officials of the Nishna Valley Trails Group are inviting you to attend an open meeting of the Nishna Valley Trails Association in support of the future development of the T-Bone Trail and other recreational trails in Atlantic and Cass County. The meeting will take place this evening beginning at 6 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. The agenda will include a report on conversations with the railroad, updates on trail development efforts, and mapping a vision for the future. Officials of the Griswold Community School District are inviting the public and especially veterans to the 2012 Veterans Day program. That'll take place at 2 p.m. Sunday, November 11th, in the auditorium of the Griswold Middle School and High School building. Guest speaker is Alan Cranston of Marnie, who enlisted in the U.S. Navy in 1956 at the age of 19 and retired in 1975. Following the program, everyone is invited to the cafeteria for a dessert bar and fellowship. In conjunction with the annual Veterans Day program, cards of thanks are being sent to the men and women from our local area who are currently serving in the military. You're asked to provide the names and addresses of those service persons to Ivan Lynch or Denise Martison at 712-778-2154 or Nancy Taylor at 778-2152 or email ntaylor@griswoldschools.org by no later than November the 8th. You can find those phone numbers and that link on our website at kjan.com under the news tab in this same story. The public will have a chance to get another update on the status of the troubled Fort Calhoun nuclear power plant at a meeting to take place in Blair, Nebraska next month, but the Nuclear Regulatory Commission decided to reschedule tomorrow's meeting with the Omaha Public Power District officials in Maryland because of a major storm that's expected to hit the East Coast. The public meeting will instead be held on November 15th from 6 until 9 p.m. at the Dana College Gardner Hawks Center in Blair. After officials discuss the efforts to restart the plant, there will be time for questions. Fort Calhoun is about 20 miles north of Omaha. It was initially shut down for refueling maintenance in April of 2011, but flooding along the Missouri River and a series of safety violations forced it to stay closed. Elsewhere in state news, trial has begun in the lawsuit of a same-sex couple suing state health officials for omitting the name of one parent on a death certificate for their child. Opening arguments in the case were held Friday morning in Polk County District Court. The gay rights group Lambda Legal filed the lawsuit in February on behalf of Jenny and Jessica Buntemeyer of Davenport. The lawsuit seeks a new death certificate for their stillborn child. The couple said they filled out a death certificate listing both their names, but the state health department issued a certificate that didn't include Jenny Buntemeyer's name. Jessica Buntemeyer gave birth to a stillborn son last October. Jenny Buntemeyer's egg was used to conceive the baby. A 37-year-old Waterloo man has been arrested, accused of robbing a bank in northeast Iowa. The Bremer County jailer said that Stephen Vandewalker remained in custody today, pending $100,000 bail. Vandewalker is charged with robbing the Farmers Savings Bank in Frederica on Tuesday of last week. Witnesses told investigators that a man displayed a gun after entering the bank and soon struck a male bank customer. The man's injuries were not considered to be life-threatening. It's unclear what prompted the robber to strike the man. A survey of dentists finds about two-thirds of them say they hand out candy to trick-or-treaters. A small percentage give out toothbrushes or fruit, and nearly a quarter offer no treats at all. Susan Heckenleibel, executive director of the Delta Dental of Iowa Foundation, says a majority of dentists who drop candy in the kids' bags give out the same kind of treat.
Most dentists do hand out candy and hand out something, at least, during Halloween. And our study showed that about 79% of the dentists chose chocolate as their preferred candy of choice.
She says chocolate is the best candy to pass out as it dissolves quickly in the mouth and decreases the amount of time sugar is in contact with teeth.
What we find with tooth decay is that the continued amount of time that the sugar reacts with the bacteria in the mouth can cause tooth decay. And so the sticky, chewy type of candy does not dissolve quickly in the mouth, gets stuck in between the molars and in your teeth, and those are concerns for us.
She says Halloween is the ideal time for parents to school their ghouls about the benefits of moderation.
Certainly what's important is that night of is to make sure your child has a good, healthy, full meal prior to going out trick-or-treating. That will reduce the amount of potentially temptation to consume as much candy as they really want to.
And she encourages parents to promote good oral health habits year-round, including twice daily brushing with fluoridated toothpaste, daily flossing, and regular dental checkups. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the Coast Guard has used helicopters to rescue 14 members of the crew forced to abandon a tall ship HMS Bounty, which was caught in Hurricane Sandy off the North Carolina Outer Banks. Crews are still searching for two others. The ship left Connecticut last week for Florida and was trying to go around the storm. Mass transit systems are shut down along with schools and financial markets as Hurricane Sandy bears down on the biggest cities along the eastern seaboard. The storm strengthened before dawn and stayed on its course toward Washington, Baltimore, Philadelphia, and New York. It's on a collision course with two other weather systems that would create a super storm, possibly threatening as many as 50 million people for days. Instead of campaigning in Florida today, President Obama is headed back to the White House to monitor Hurricane Sandy. His advisors had considered moving up a noontime event in Orlando and scheduling it instead for this morning, but that would have made Obama's return to Washington too late for Air Force One to land safely. Washington's airports have already canceled all commercial flights. Americans increased their spending in September at least twice the rate their income rose, a sign of confidence in the economy. The Commerce Department said consumer spending increased 0.8% last month, the best showing since February. Personal income rose 0.4%, an improvement from a slight 0.1% gain in August and the best gain since March. And the FBI says the number of violent crimes reported to police decreased 3.8% last year to 1.2 million, the fifth straight year of declines. Meanwhile, the amount of property crime reported to law enforcement agencies went down by 0.5% to 9 million, the ninth consecutive year that figure has fallen. News time is 9:12.
How do you want your money to work for you and your beneficiaries? Taxable, tax-deferred, or tax-free? Hi, this is Craig Hummel. You know, one of the biggest challenges facing baby boomers is how to transfer our assets to the next generation without Uncle Sam taking out their pound of flesh. Call Hummel Insurance Services and discover how you can transfer your wealth to your spouse or the next generation tax-free with Increasing Whole Life from EMC National Life Insurance Company. Call 1-800-482-6426 or locally at 482-6424. Increasing Whole Life Insurance is issued by EMC National Life Company, Urbandale, Iowa, and is policy form LP300. The increasing death benefit is not guaranteed until declared. The provisions may vary or be unavailable in some states. See policy for complete details. Or visit us online at HummelIns.com.
In the funeral announcements, Alta Walker Borkowski, age 94, formerly of Irwin, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Alta Walker Borkowski will be today at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Irwin. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Tom Morrison, age 97, of Stewart, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Tom Morrison will be today at 10:30 at the First Congregational Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Marilyn Kanan, age 83, of Harlan, died Saturday. A massive Christian burial service for Marilyn Kanan will be held today at 11 o'clock at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Defiance. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Ruth Emmons, age 94, of Atlantic and formerly of Adair, died Friday. Funeral services for Ruth Emmons will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair. Robert Bob Pauls, age 82, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Services for Bob Pauls will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Richard Lee Harris, age 74, of Dexter, died Friday. Memorial services for Richard Harris will be held Tuesday at 2 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Dexter. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Marilyn Young, age 91, of Exira, died Saturday. Funeral services for Marilyn Young will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Zena Lyman, age 48, of Greenfield, died Friday. Graveside memorial services for Zena Lyman will be held on next Monday, November 5th at 11 a.m. at the Fairview Cemetery in rural Stewart. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. And Delmer Quick, age 86, of Fontenelle, died Monday, today at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Delmer Quick are currently pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. The news was brought to you by Hummel Insurance. For all of your insurance needs, give Craig and the gang a call today at the Hummel Insurance Agency in Oakland.